The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pear.com.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
Kill
the Bat of Gotham.
I'm Batman.
Hello, Bat family, and welcome to this episode number 207 of the Batman on Film podcast. BOF is the sponsor and a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network. Check out all the shows over at batmanpodcastnetwork.com and follow us on Twitter at BatPodNetwork. I'm Garrett Grev. I'm your host for this episode. Glad to be here. I'm happy to, if not talk to you, have you hear me talk to my pal here that I'll introduce in a moment. But if you do want to interact, you can always follow me on Twitter. I'm at Garrett Wado over there. You can email me topics, suggestions, feedback, whatever you might want to hear on a podcast or maybe an article or anything, any of your thoughts. Why not? Over at my email address, that's garrett.grev@batmanonfilm.com. Thank you for listening. Now, you may say to yourself, Garrett, I do like to hear you talk, but I haven't heard you talk in a while because there's been plenty of social hours and plenty of animated podcast episodes. Podcasts on Batman 89, but no real kind of core Batman on Film podcast. And I talked about this on the last episode. New Year's resolution was to do more shows. So we're doing a show today after a little bit of a drought. And I said, you know what? There's plenty of little chitter chat things we can cover. And who do I like to chitter chat with the most? Well, he is a SoCal punk rock pastor dad. He is the maestro of Mixie's mouthwatering treats. He is the guy that when you can buy them, and T Public doesn't pull them down, make some of the finest, geekiest t-shirts you've ever seen. Stupid copyright laws. He is, of course, my buddy, Justin M. Kowalski. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. I thought I was covered by parody law, but apparently...
That only works on Twitter. If you put it in your username, parody, then you're safe.
Parody. Warner Brothers is like, no, I don't think Disney even cares that much. But Warner Brothers is like, those ideas are too good.
They're too good. And we haven't been utilizing them well enough to make money. Like, you can't make money off them either.
They're not that great ideas, but okay.
Well, the reason I bring it up is top of mind. I'm wearing a favorite from the Kowalski collection.
Oh, wow.
From the Let's Go days. It's Batman 89 number. Mm. And, you know, he got his eyes...
Yeah, you don't know who that is.
Yeah, the bat symbol, I guess, is there. I can't tell because I've worn this one so many times. I'm not quite sure how evident it is on a new one. But I would like other people to be able to enjoy these fineries. That's just a bummer.
It was a top seller. You know, my number one seller, no lie, was I made like an Adam West. And it's not like it's an unoriginal idea. I was like, oh, I want to do one of those for Robert Pattinson. This is before the movie came out, was the Pattinson shirt.
Yeah.
And I did a Pattinson, and then someone wanted, I'm trying to remember. I did a red bat with like black text. And then someone's like, can you do one that's reversed. I'm like, sure. Inverted the colors. Sold a butt shirts, yeah, man. So
there's, yeah, Battinson. And did you ever put, I know you're playing around with Pac-Man, and I thought it was just, yeah, too close to Pac-Man.
Yeah, I don't remember now, but Battinson was it. Battinson, and then the other ones were just like Keaton, Batfleck. Yeah. Like, you can't really do Bat Keaton.
Yeah.
It was just like Keaton.
And, just Keaton gives beatings.
Yeah, 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 you know. So, but anyways, yeah, those are.
I do have a Battinson shirt. I wear it regularly. It isn't as worn as the Let's Go 89, but it is also a favorite in the rotation. A lot of times I've gotten, when I first got the shirt and I wore it to the gym, somebody stopped me and they go, oh, hey, it's because the Twilight guy is going to be Batman, right? That's a cool shirt. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Twilight guy, sure. Yeah. But my buddy made this shirt. You should check it out. But it was nice. Your artistry recognized, wow, you know, all, you know, worldwide. We'll say worldwide. There's got to be somebody. Friendly, all the way to Minnesota.
Yeah, friendly, like, Minnesota workout guys.
Yeah, that's just good. Having a chat.
You go, hey, can I borrow them, you know, them dumbbells, don't you know?
Yeah, sure. That's exactly. There's exactly a lot of, Oh, is this, yeah, your machine? Sorry, didn't mean to bother you. Finish up. Have a good workout there. What about this weather? You know, hey, speaking of weather. So we're recording this. I don't know if I mentioned it in the introduction. It is March 17th. And while there we haven't go. Had one of these episodes since the end of January, when we reviewed the DCU chapter one, half one.
Really? Was that in January?
Yeah, it was the very last day in January.
Wow.
I don't think the episode got up to the beginning of February. So, you know, okay, for that reason, I'm still averaging a show a month, which, you know, gotcha. There's worse podcast track records out there than that.
Yeah.
But the weather back in January was about the same weather as we have up in Minnesota today. I just went out and ran some errands earlier. It's cold. We had a bunch of snow and ice last night. Taking the family, we're flying out to Arizona for spring break this evening. And even the weather out in Arizona is not like scorching hot like we're used to. So the pool days will be there, and it's spring break. So everybody else that's getting out of their Midwest, you know, snow hellscapes will probably be at the pool too. But I think it might be a little lighter population, you know, soaking up the rays, which might not be a bad thing.
May not be bad. You said we've been in kind of a drought of these, you know, BOF proper shows. I'll tell you, out here in California, we have a drought, but not recently, man. It's been nonstop rain. I haven't turned my sprinklers on since. I popped them on in the beginning of February for a second, but no, man, it's just been rain, rain, rain. It's gonna rain again Monday, Tuesday. So anyways, it's weird, man.
I haven't been out to California. You know, normally I get out there somewhat regularly, and I haven't been out there this year yet. I think I'm coming out in April. So hopefully by then it's warmer here and warmer there. And we'll have to find an indoor spot.
We'll figure it out.
Enjoy a couple beers someplace and maybe check out some comic books.
Hey, those are nice.
All right. Speaking of things to check out, we've got a couple little news items. Some long speculated things that have turned out to be true in the recent past here in the last couple of days.
Yeah. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. Something actually ends up something everybody thought was going to happen. That's actually going to happen. And then something that, you know, a lot of us had heard very well could happen. That sounds like it might not happen. But before we get into that, we often do, listeners, please don't tune out. Don't delete the download. Mm-mm. I know this is going to be heartbreaking for you. You know, we typically do an episode or a segment of "What Are You" on every podcast episode, but we're going to replace that because along with the news that we have about movies and movie directors and what have you, there's been a whole batch of new McFarlane toys for an upcoming feature. Normally I do this with Peter, Justin, so you get to do your best Italian Jersey because he's very fond of doing Kowalski impressions over at, you know, his podcast.
And it's so accurate.
Yeah, it sounds just like you. A lot of times I'll be listening to Straight Out of Gotham. I'm like, Justin got involved. I still haven't been on that show, and Justin's on again, and then it's just Peter.
Yeah.
So with that, let's get into a little segment we like to call Peter's Toy Box.
Does he get those wonderful toys?
All right, so Justin, Peter, where do you get these wonderful...
Yeah. Well, I know a guy. I know a guy who works at a factory.
I can't do that. That hurts my throat. Bale level of Batman voice right there. I can't do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. If Peter can walk around sounding exactly like you just sounded, which of course he does, then maybe Bale's Batman voice, you know, isn't such a put upon affect. Maybe that was just him tapping into a different natural part of Bruce.
Well, I heard when they originally did Batman Begins, they wanted him to do a little more of a Clint Eastwood, you know, like Batman voice, you know.
Oh, sure.
He does it a few times, which I actually preferred. And then for Dark Knight, Nolan really just said, can you just go full Vera? And he's like, okay. So Pete Vera, I don't know if you guys knew that, is really tight with Nolan. He's, you know, one of the I don't know, I guess you'd call like leaders of the Nolanite movement.
And
it was just a way to honor Pete. So yeah.
Nolan purist. Nolan only. Nolan cultist. Does anybody throw that one around? Nolan cultist?
Yeah,
I don't know if I've heard that. Nolanite.
Yeah, okay. Nolanite, that's accurate for Pete. Totally.
It must have been his close personal friend Michael Uslan, who he's interacted with a number of times. And
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, it's probably Uslan hooked him up and said, listen, I got this guy in Jersey.
Yeah,
I love him the most. I really think we could slip a little Peter into Batman.
He's guttural. He's you know.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. Well, Peter normally tells us about toys, but there's a whole bunch of McFarlane toys coming out for the upcoming Flash movie.
And
the internet is abuzz with various thoughts on these toys. Now, I've said this before. I typically am not an action figure guy. The action figures at our house are either. Well, I shouldn't say I'm not an action figure guy. I don't buy a lot of the new comic book related action figures. My vintage of action figures goes back, of which I have far too many, to Masters of the Universe and some 80s stuff that I've got more than my wife is comfortable with me having. It takes up quite a bit of our garage. But I do appreciate them. And the Mark McFarlane figures are normally pretty lauded. So far from what I've seen on the internet, these Flash figures, it's a little bit of a mixed reception. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. It's really funny that it's like McFarlane, when he first got the DC license, I mean, it's real Batman heavy. And I think he had to, like, because Batman sells, right?
Right.
And it's kind of ironic, like for this Flash film, it's very Batman heavy. It's funny seeing a Batmobile with a Flash logo on it.
Yeah.
It's all the Flash Batmobile.
And a very familiar Batmobile at that.
Yeah. So like his whole, everyone's kind of speculating what's it going to be. And so the release wasn't surprising at all. Most of the figures, my take with McFarlane is he's been really good at doing like some of the comic accurate figures, especially these last few waves. My son's into them, so I've been paying attention a little bit more. His, you know, real life actor likenesses are a little more off. The first ones I really noticed were the Zack Snyder ones. I saw a couple and I don't know if these look like the actors as much as they could, but these ones, they're all right. The sculpts on the faces are it infers. It's like, oh, I think that's Michael Keaton.
It's Keaton-esque.
It's Keaton-esque. Like we were talking about this a few weeks back. I think when they started leaking pictures, I still feel like the Kenner Dark Knight collection Michael Keaton figure looks more like Keaton than you know, these McFarlane faces. But the figures, it's a nice little round of figures coming out. You get the Ezra Miller Flash, so you get
Ezra him. Adjacent.
It kind of looks like him. I mean, all you really got to sculpt is his face, just his chin, right?
Yeah, so
you
nose get that. Down.
So you got two versions. You have the version that has a modified Batman Return suit, which is kind of cool. So I'm like, ooh, they sculpted a Batman Return suit. So it'd be kind of cool if we got actual Batman Returns.
Good thought. I haven't seen that. Later. Right. Yeah, like I've seen the Keaton figure is like the Keaton in the suit that we're going to get in the movie, not necessarily a throwback figure.
Yeah, we haven't. It's just they just have the Keaton suit because that Flash spray paints it. So they have the Flash
in
the spray paint suit. So I'm just
McFarlane. But in the line, they could easily just do a 92.
They could easily do it because
or something.
Yeah, because he even has with the Jason Fabak three Jokers Batman figure has the Keaton belt. I mean, that's a Keaton belt that's on there.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I mean, if they want to like retool some stuff, they can make a Batman Returns figure. So there's that. There's the Michael Keaton Batman, which has the updated armor. There's a Supergirl And then those are the figures. There's a variant, though. There's they called Gold Label, means it's like a store exclusive. I think it's Target. Hey, shout out to Target. To Minnesota.
Yeah. Hey.
There's a maskless Michael Keaton figure. And so it's just Batman in a suit looking like an old guy. So
that's great. Yeah. Batman in a suit looking like an old guy. Shows up all over the place.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of vehicles, man. I'm going to build, Garrett. There is a Affleck's. Oh, yeah. I forgot there's an Affleck Batman figure, which looks awful.
Yeah, that it looks like he's got like some lip liner on.
Man, he's going out for a night. Let me tell you, dude, that's a choice. I don't know how the toy industry works, but I'm like, you had a Batman like Affleck sculpted head. It looked all right. The one from Zack Snyder's Justice League Batman figure. You know, sure. it was the tactical suit, which that's always funny because Batman's suits are just all tactical. But
right.
There you go. But you know, I feel like you had the face down. This one looks really weird. It looks like a horse, man. I don't know. It's like a horse face with lipstick. I'm like, I don't know. It's Sarah Jessica Parker. I don't know. She's in Batman. Hey,
Jessica Parker taking strays on the Batman podcast. No. She,
but,
it's accurate. It's accurate.
Yeah. From the trailer, the suit though was a little more gray and blue, and this figure is just, looks like a big bunch of
I was surprised by that because that screenshot from the trailer made a lot of rounds, you know, either people saying, hey, look, you can do blue and gray and it looks fine, or people saying like, oh, this does not look good. Yeah. But that was out pretty widely.
Yeah.
It was super visible in the Super Bowl. It was there for long enough for people to notice that it was Batman wearing blue and gray in the Super Bowl trailer, and then to see the figure is all black. I'm like, oh, is it a variant? I don't understand. Yeah. Is there going to be two versions of this? And now you can fill an extra peg, so it's an easy repaint. Because I mean, the cost for I've learned a lot about the toy industry watching this YouTube channel I enjoy called Toy Guru. The guy who runs it, I forget his name, but was the head of the Mattel He-Man sort of, you know, the classics, and you know, ran that line for a while. And he talks a lot about like tooling expense and why it makes sense. You see so many figures, particularly of that era, where it's like, oh yeah, those are the same bad guy arms that are on every bad guy, and now they show up on a hero here with these different feet and a different torso, because the expense is really in the tooling. And if you have the tooling done, then you can reuse that pretty efficiently. It's not super expensive to do. So it is, I was kind of surprised to see a different head sculpt on those pictures of the Affleck figure when it was totally different than the Affleck figure they made just a couple of years ago. Cause that seems like an easy cost savings measure.
But, yeah. And again, I don't know. Sometimes you're like, oh, I get it. Like they call them bucks. Like, oh, they're using that same Batman buck over and over and over for a few figures. And then McFarlane's not as bad as like Mattel and Hasbro, but like,
right.
Yeah. It's still kind of weird, but McFarlane likes to do variants, and so maybe there's a color update later. But so there you go. So that's the figures as of now. I don't know if there's like a wave two or there's other little things that are going to pop up. There's also one's a spoiler, so I won't say the spoiler.
Okay, yeah,
I won't say the spoiler figure
just in case
Pete'll get upset. I don't know about that figure. Michael was going to tell me about that. Nolan. So, but then so the vehicle. So they have the Affleck. Bat cycle, which is really cool, which is kind of reminiscent of the White Knight bat cycle, which they made as well. And then this was the big surprise that got dropped last week, was there's a McFarlane store exclusive Batwing, and that thing's $400, man.
No way.
It's huge. It's to scale. And so your 7-inch figure, you know, think about that, how big this sucker is. So it's $400. And my son's all, dad, I'm like, sorry, bro.
Yeah, $400, man.
You're not even gonna be able to play with that. I mean, you can hang it up maybe, but like
nice, it's
not
display piece. You know, maybe it's an investment opportunity. Is that gonna be, you know, $525 in a few years or something if you keep it in the box?
Yeah. Some of that stuff is, man. If you can flip them, those HasLab things, I paid attention. I'm like, oh man, there's people that double dip because they can send it off to someone else for twice the cost. So yeah, there's that. And then finally it's what everyone's excited about is the 89 Batmobile. From McFarlane, and so it's cool. It looks nice. I will say I'm disappointed it's not a two-seater. I'm like, how come you don't make? And I get it's probably a cost thing, because when you look at the figure, the car does look, it's not really a true scale. It's a little smaller. Like if you're gonna, like, how long would that car be if you're, it's a 7-inch figure, how long should it be? probably should be about 23, 24 inches long. I don't think it is. But it looks like it's a good looking car. You know, I can't complain about it. I'll probably get one for my son. It's going to be, I think, about $69 to $80.
I was just going to ask what the price point on that bad boy is going to be. If the Batwing's $400, then that Batmobile sounds
that
like
that Batwing's big deal. Though. The Batwing is big. Yeah, it's real big, man. Like, you know, and probably know they're not going to sell a lot, so they have to like up the cost. They know it's going to be more of a collector market type of thing. So
yeah, I was curious when you said store exclusive. I'm like, which store? Because you're not buying off the shelf off at Target, right? Like that's
It's going to be his store.
His store. Okay, makes much more sense. Like you don't just slap a bullseye on that boy and put it on the bottom shelf at Target and expect to move units.
Yeah, but sometimes like he had the Batmobile Beast from Dark Knight's Metal, and he put one out at Walmart. It was a Walmart exclusive, and I don't think they were selling, so I snagged one for $25.
No way.
Yeah, and it came with like a figure and everything. I was like, dude, $25 ain't bad. And so my kid, he thinks it's the cool. He rolls it down the stairs. It rolls. It's kind of fun. But yeah,
I might have to expand my shopping proclivities as opposed to just cruising through eBay for a bag of random He-Man accessories and parts. I might actually have to go to a retail shelf and see what we got. I wish we carried, I wish stores carried more toys outside of Target, because I think like the death of the specialty toy store has led to some of that, challenges, right? It's more challenging from a production standpoint. You kind of have to go to your point, like it's really Batman heavy. Well, that's what you're going to get because Batman sells.
Yeah.
And if it's a retail environment at a general big box store, you got to go with the units that are going to fly off the pegs as opposed to a little lesser known characters. So I know that's what the pre-orders and, direct, Mattel did that for a lot of the He-Man classics was pretty much all, direct to consumer, but different business models. It doesn't stop them from making toys, just maybe makes it a little harder to get your hands on them.
Yeah. That's what I've noticed with my son. He's like, Dad, I want to. I mean, he sees it, and then because he watches the YouTube review guys who get them sent to him for free, he doesn't understand that. I've said,
"Oh yeah,
own channel, bro. Maybe they'll send them to you." But
yeah,
and he's all, "Dad, let's. Why isn't this figure here?" I'm like, "Yeah, man. Like, it's just hard. It just I don't know how to tell you, buddy. They have to sell all these other figures that no one wants before they put the new ones out on the shelf. Type of situation.
Yeah, it's the way it works.
So, yeah. Anywho, there you go. There's they look pretty decent if you're wanting and in McFarlane Toys, they still haven't really hit the price hike. Like Marvel Legends are hitting about 25 now. They moved from 1999 25. McFarlane is still floating about 1999. Maybe I've seen some for 22, but here's the thing. Most of the stuff I snatch from my kid, I get it off of Amazon, and there's sometimes like a discounted rate,
find a flash sale.
Yeah, I'm sure like you can get a Black Adam, dude. Black Adams everywhere. Like there's a guy I follow on a McFarlane forum, and he's like, he's all Walmart update. It's still a whole end cap full of Black Adam figures. He's all, no one's bought one. And they keep like discounting the price. It's like,
might take a little while to move through those. Those are going to be showing up at your discount retailers and secondary stores. And maybe they show up at your Dollar General at some point or something like that. Do Dollar Generals up by you guys?
Nah. They have 99-cent stores.
Okay.
That's what it is. But
even cheaper. I thought things were more expensive in California. Wow.
They are. Well, I think they changed the name to 99-cent plus or something.
Oh, sure.
And it's not 99 cents. It's maybe it's $1.99 or $3.99. Yeah. So
everything ends in a 99. It's like, what's this? Well, this is the Batwing. It's $399 but 99 cents.
99 cents, that's how it works.
Well, one last thing I heard, I heard the capes on these leave a little bit to be desired. Is that true?
I'm so glad you brought up this really nerdy thing.
The listeners are tuning into a Batman on Film podcast, it's a dedicated group,
it's dedicated. So here we go, friends. Like, I'm curious what people think about capes. Capes is a weird thing, especially in action figure markets. The cloth cape is, desired for folks who want to put their Batman into a vehicle. You have these vinyl, like, sculpted capes, which I think look really awesome and dramatic. McFarlane does them like no one else does. His capes, if you look at them, like, oh, man, you can see, like, texture to it. So for this Michael Keaton Batman, I think even the Affleck, they all have cloth capes. And they look really stupid. They look like it just looks like a kid put a blanket on them. They just
a beach towel.
Yeah, and you're like, it doesn't, for me, it doesn't work with the aesthetic. Like, it would be nice if he gave you two capes, I guess, if you want to throw Batman in the Batmobile, because the, you know, that Keaton, that was the first time you saw like a leather, you know, flocked cape. Like, it looked like Batwing.
Heavy, right? Had some weight to it.
Had some weight to it, you know, and I just don't think it works, you know. I was looking at, I looked at a review for the, he did for the Nolan, hey, speaking of Nolan, the Nolan Batman, and man, the texture on that looks great. And that was a cloth cape too in that film, right?
Yeah.
The memory cloth. But the cape,
yeah, it begins, made, it looks like the heaviest cloth you've ever encountered in your life. Yeah, like, it looks, like a weighted blanket or something.
But it looks very cozy as well.
Oh yeah.
It looks very cozy.
Curl up in the old bat cape and have a nap after a long night of crime
fighting. And then you put your hands in it and it goes, and you just kind of, hey, I made a tent. So,
right.
Yeah, but so he does a great job with these textures, and I'm like, oh, what a bummer that we didn't get a sculpted cape. So hopefully he puts another variant out. But the big seller for that is you're going to put your Michael Keaton Batman in the Batmobile, and if his cape isn't cloth, all the nerd dads and boys are going to be upset that their Batman can't.
Playability is hurt.
Yeah, yeah. So I get it, but like that would be my criticism of is like, oh man, give us a nice vinyl cape. You know, sell it for $5 online. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. That's a nice basket building opportunity.
Yeah. Maybe that repaint
sector loves that.
Yeah. Maybe the repaint or the redeco, like the Batman Returns. I know they're going to make it. They have to.
They got
the parts right there, man. Just paint
right in front of
black.
You.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go.
You know what? At different points here, I thought it was actually Peter in Peter's toy box. So,
I'm going to get all of them. I already pre ordered them. I'm a Batman fan. You're not a real Batman.
Eric and Garrett don't buy action figures.
Oh, you're upset. It's two. You'd rather have a toy biz two seater with a convertible.
There you go. That was Pete Vera.
That is Peter Vera, and that is Peter's toy box.
You want to read comics?
3, 2, 1.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
Cue music.
Cue Becky.
Good evening.
All right. Switching lanes just a little bit. We'll talk about this one first since we're on the bat talk, and then maybe we'll end with a little not bat talk when it comes to the movies. But we've established that Ben Affleck.
Who?
Ben Affleck. Maybe you've heard of him. He's a director and movie star. He's played Batman a little bit. Yeah. He's playing Batman one last time here.
One last time.
In The Flash. He just did an interview with a Hollywood Reporter. Good interview. Check it out.
Yeah, it was good.
But he talks about a ton of different stuff in there. He said this before, and then he touched on it again, that this was his favorite experience playing Batman. Got to have fun with it, kind of got into the role in a different way. So that's very encouraging for a certain number of minutes. If no one wants to know how many minutes, he threw a number out there. I think it's going to be less than what some people were purporting it to be.
I heard it was longer than all the lines Henry Cavill had in BVS, though.
I believe that. I believe that for a second.
That was just what I heard.
It's probably more words and everything. So we'll see what comes of that. But one nugget that he did say was around whether or not he would be involved in future DCU projects as a director. And Justin, I don't know about you, I was a little bit surprised at the answer. So what Ben told, I'm going to paraphrase for Ben, I don't have the quote right in front of me, is that he said, yeah, James Gunn is a great guy, but he wouldn't want to direct anything in this new Gunn DCU with how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Now, we had heard, and James Gunn had said previously that they were working with Ben Affleck. I think the broadest held thoughts were he would direct a project in this DCU. It felt like all but confirmed at different points.
Yeah.
Signs had pointed at various, you know, instances to that being Superman Legacy. And then at others, you know, speculation, of course, around Brave and the Bold as the, you know, Batman feature of this first chapter of the DCU. Justin, were you surprised that Ben had said, hey, no, I'm not going to actually do this thing? Or was this something you thought was predictable?
I mean, I don't know. I felt like Affleck's been wanting to get out of, you know, the whole Batman thing for a while, you know? And so none of this ever surprised me. I wanted to go back to like James Gunn. His quote was like, hey, we're talking to these guys. Affleck, you know, is on board. I don't even think he said he's on board. He said he may be on board. Now it's just turned into, he's a liar.
Right.
James Gunn's a liar. He's not to be trusted.
No, and he's so, the new snake, the internet.
Yeah, he's probably the new snake. Freaking snake. James Gunn's a snake. But sorry, your original question was like,
were you shocked to hear Affleck say, no, I'm not interested in doing that?
No. he seems kind of like a guy who's like, it depends on his mood. Where is he at? Right. You know, for a while he was, I'll never do a superhero movie ever again after Daredevil. And then homeboy right. signs up for Batman 10 years later. Right. And then he really enjoyed playing Batman in BVS. And he even said that in the article, like I loved what we did in BVS, you know? And he's actually been pretty like grateful. He's like for the films that he got to be a part of. He said, you know, BVS was one of his highest, you know, blockbuster films he's ever been in. He's, I haven't been in a movie that made over $800 million. Like, that's a win for me. Like, yeah. he kind of criticized the failure side of that, you know, when all that stuff came out. And then I think he's pretty classy on like how he approaches stuff, but maybe he's a little grumpy. Classy and grumpy is how I would you know, label the man. And then he even said, hey, you know, the film, the Zack Snyder version, highly rated on IMDb, you know, how is it highly rated? I don't know,
yeah.
You know, but like, he's appreciative of that, but also recognized, dude, the whole filming that movie was a heartbreak. It was hard. I was away from my kids. It was just not a good season for him. And so he's happy that he finally got a take on the character. But I think he's done. I don't even know if he wants to be involved in it. Cause I feel like here's what happens. I think he can read the tea leaves and go, if I'm involved in anything DC, all I'm going to do is just get hammered by like, what about this? Are you going to return to be Batman? Are you going to just what happened with Live by Night? When he did the whole Live by Night thing, it was like, when are you going to start Batman? Are you Batman? When's Batman coming? Are you going to write the Batman movie? Are you going to direct it? Are you gonna... And it was just like
the press coverage of that movie was so little about Live by Night itself. It had to be, especially when it was a super big passion project of his to then only get asked about Batman the whole time he made the rounds had to be super annoying.
Yeah. And then it didn't do well. It underperformed and, you know, and he's going through divorce and alcoholism and all that stuff. So I think it's wise for him to step away, and B, I see why he wouldn't want to be a part, even if he was like, man, I know he loves the character of Batman. Like, I think people know of his fandom, but it's like, I much rather would make some smaller films like this whole Air thing that's coming out. Like, he seems passionate about telling stories and the right stories. And, you know, maybe he does. I think Bill posted something like, maybe he does like a one-off DC film later on, but right now there's still too much Snyder stink over everything. Like, you just don't want to engage in that fandom right now, because it really is a beatdown. And like, God bless James Gunn, how he handles it, but you're already seeing it right now. Like that kind of fan base is coming up saying, again, he's a liar. He's not to be trusted. He only wants to cast his wife and all these things.
Oh, man, that's been the weirdest thing.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I'm not surprised. I'm actually like, I would love to have Affleck be a part, and his talent is, man, what a great director. It'd be great to have him be a part of these things, but it doesn't make sense if you really pay attention to how he's communicated over the last few years. It's probably best for everybody to like, just, hey, hang up the cape, finally
be done. Again.
Yeah. Again, come back in 30 years.
I wasn't terribly surprised. But it's only because he's been so wishy-washy on some of this stuff in the past, and it's it's been tough. And this isn't a slight on him in any way, because these actors are put in these positions, and there's things going on behind the scenes and NDAs and stuff that your publicist says you can say, and things the studio doesn't want you to say, and the list goes on and on and on, right? Yeah. But he's kind of been historically back and forth all over the board. You know, I'm Batman. I'm going to play Batman. Even after Reeves was hired, you know, I'd crawl on the ground as an ape for Matt Reeves. And, you know, so sometimes they kind of just say what they have to say in the moment. And is it a little less than honest? Sure. But it's part of the business. And by the way, this is a whole business made up on playing pretend. So if in an interview, you have to pretend something's not going on or is going on that isn't, or might be, then I get it. And that's not me saying I think Affleck lied in this interview. I just think situations change and you're at liberty to say different things at different times. Yeah. So could he still direct a movie in the DCU that fits into the connected universe? Yeah. Is he going to get crucified for it by some small segment of weirdos that are making life a living hell for everybody involved in this stuff, you know, when it comes, if they care about the social media side of it. But it doesn't necessarily mean he'll never, ever do it. I think the Elseworlds banner would be interesting.
Yeah.
And I think if he was to direct Batman, that would be brutal for him. I also always wonder around, like, what are the people close to him telling him? You know, what's his wife saying, hey, do you really want to do this? What's his old pal Matt Damon talking about? You know, is Kevin Smith giving him any insight or what he, you know, I don't know who the guy takes advice from, but I think these things can be fluid. And it also doesn't mean that he hasn't given ideas or shared his thoughts with James Gunn, because that's what, you know, James had come out and said early on as they were talking with Affleck, and that he was helping them think through, kind of basically said he was in different words, part of his board of directors, he was getting some consultation from, which is just fine. I think, you know, we take that and hear it and run in different directions of what might happen or could happen or speculate here and there. And if it doesn't turn out to be that, then some people get upset, but it's just all kind of silly to me. Just let's watch what happens. Enjoy what's actually going on. And, you know, in the meantime, we can speculate, but don't get upset if the thing you thought was going to happen doesn't end up happening.
I mean, I'm still holding out that he's going to be Batman in Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey,
I mean,
James, there's a multiverse, you know, hey, it doesn't make, you know, how many times do you see that online? Why not? Why can't we have this thing if there's a multiverse?
Yeah. It's time for the clean break. And that's kind of my final thought on the whole thing. You know, it is what it is.
Yep. We move on. That's what we do in life, Justin. You just keep marching forward. That's all you can do.
Let's move on, Garrett. What's next?
Well, you know what? Speaking of Affleck and directing stuff, the project I thought would be really interesting for him to have a go at is now no longer available.
Crap.
So, yeah. Maybe you didn't see this, Justin. Maybe I
first,
have.
First, he was versing Superman, now directing Superman.
Yeah, I thought that might be a really kind of fun fit. But no, it is not to be. I think it was actually your boy, Mr. King, that kind of broke the news out of schedule. Old Tommy had said, you know, James is going to direct this thing before that was official. And of course, when they talked about Superman Legacy back in January at the big project unveiling, Peter Safran was quoted as saying he really hoped they could convince James to direct it. And of course, we knew at that point that James Gunn was actively writing the script. And now it is official. He will be directing as well. Justin, what was your first thought when that news was confirmed?
Yeah, I was kind of like, the when Peter Safran kind of like said, oh yeah, we hope that, you know, James directs this, like at the unveiling of everything, that was kind of the first clue. Like, he wouldn't say that publicly if it wasn't a conversation. And then at that moment, you get a lot of folks that I feel like they've never seen a movie by you know, a director before where they're like, oh, it's going to be Superman farting, you know, like,
the, yeah, yeah. It's all going like, to be 80s yeah. soundtrack and penis jokes the whole time.
And I'm like, I haven't even seen a fart joke movie with James Gunn, by the way. Like, what's that all about? Like, there's some lightheartedness and in some, but then there's like these tender moments. And I'm like, man, James Gunn, who can make you cry with a freaking tree, right? Right?
Like, seriously.
I think he gets heart in Superman Needs Heart. And I think the post that he, like the thread he put on Twitter the other day about, you know, his father and the, like the conversation with his brother, the release date is his dad's birthday. Just, you know, how his dad, you know, encouraged him and fostered like his love of just kind of his nerdy culture. It was really sweet. And I'm like, there you go. That's, you know, that's a Pa Kent moment right there. You know, I really don't have an issue with James Gunn directing it. Good directors are good storytellers, are versatile. Like, you know, Steven Spielberg directed Schindler's List, but he also did Jaws, right? Like, am I going to say he can only do, you know, horror movies based in the water? No, like,
no,
it's such a myopic way of viewing, this stuff. But I think, you know, the loud comic book fan guys, they just don't know any other way except to be angsty and upset and to pigeonhole folks. It's just kind of a weird way to go about it. For me, I'm like, man, James Gunn, I like most of the things I've seen. I don't know if I've seen every one of his films. Some of them are really hard to watch. Some of them, not in like, oh, I hate it. It's just like, oh man, like that's rough, but I get it. You know, what's the Rainn Wilson one where he plays a superhero?
Oh,
freaking Juno. I can't think of that one, but yeah, I mean, that was, it was kind of a dark comedy, but there was like some uncomfortableness to it. But I don't think that's his approach with Superman. He's not trying to make Superman like a weirdo. Like, it sounds like he's reading the right books. Like, he had that, even Gred, you had your little exchange.
Yeah, I got I got a little JG interaction.
Hey,
JG connection point on there, the old Twitterverse. Yeah, he's reading Man of Steel. He's like at the exact same point in the hardcover collected editions that I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, that thread, you know, some goofballs found it. And I didn't realize there was like a John Byrne hate segment. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of folks out there, apparently. Well, at least there's some people on the internet that were like really trying to hate on the John Byrne. I'm like, the greatest run on the character ever. Yeah. Like,
well, John Byrne got real cranky later on in his career. I think that it may have stemmed from that, but it's
people
like,
have such a hard time separating the product from the artist. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, go back and read these books. I don't know what you're talking about. They're outstanding.
I can't.
He's a MAGA MAGA Superman was what I saw. I'm like, first of all,
John Byrne's Canadian.
Yeah. And he's English Canadian, but then ultimately to the United States. And these books are written in the 80s, you know? They would say Reagan, and it's not even really Reagan. Like, there's some shots at Reagan in those books. Superman's fighting a capitalist, you know? Lex Luthor is a corrupt businessman. I don't know where it comes from, but source material. So Man of Steel, along with All-Star Superman, I think any artwork he's basically shared related to the project has come right out of All-Star Superman.
Big galoot was his word, which I think but here's the thing. When he says big galoot, I go immediately to Superman for All Seasons.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big galoot. And so
All Seasons, I think All Star is depicted that way. Man of Steel, right? It's sort of like Clark is a built dude, but he's a little bit hunchier. He's not as broad chest and peacocked, but he's
Ryan Lauer. He's no Ryan Lauer.
Yeah. He doesn't have those kind of pecs, but good Lord, who does? I mean, that's next level. Go to the gym, you know, multiple times a week, just trying to catch up with Lauer. I got to get my
Lauer standard, man.
The Lauer standard. It rises again. And there's some people we got to thank for at some point for some of the catchphrases. The Lauer standard is a high bar.
Yeah.
But I think you're right on. We think about a storyteller that's gifted has the ability to tell different types of stories. And whether it's been some of his, you know, kind of gross out horror stuff to, gosh, I wish I could think of that Rainn Wilson.
I think it's called Super. Is it?
Yeah, Mike Super.
Okay.
To Guardians of the Galaxy, like there's, and of course, Suicide Squad, the Suicide Squad. You see him really be able to draw emotion out of characters that you have no reason to care about going into it.
Yeah.
So I think Superman, a character that's beloved, you know, not just to the dedicated fan base, but to the general audience, to the public on a broader, this is a character that's been in the ether for, you know, decades and decades and decades now, right?
Yeah.
So you think about what he'd be able to do with that. And he talked about, you know, they first offered him Superman when he came aboard to do the Suicide Squad. And he didn't think he had a viable in to tell that story. And he went back and thought about it and found the approach. He didn't go into a ton of detail, but it is related back to his relationship with his dad. And then thinking about what he could have to say about Clark's relationship with you know, Pa Kent, John Kent, and then also his Kryptonian heritage, which is, I think, outstanding. I think, and it's also something, and I've, again, I don't need to say it every time I talk about it, but I'm on record, along with Bill, borderline love Man of Steel. I've got my quibbles with some characters and choices they made, but overall, I think it's a really, really good movie.
Yeah.
That was a piece that I thought was missing. They tried to find the mark of the relationship with Jonathan and Clark. And it didn't quite work for me and a number of people. So I would like that.
Yeah.
I'd like that a lot. If this can be a bit of a course correction, because it's really been since Superman, the movie, since on screen, we got a good view of that relationship. So I'm psyched about that.
I think the bones in Man of Steel were good. I think there was some nice moments between, John and Clark, but it leaned too much into like trying to real world it, that you didn't really get the love of a father. And then he got sucked away in a tornado, which was really stupid.
Well, I was, one of the ways I hadn't thought of it this way. And every time I get a chance to talk to this dude, he says something pretty insightful that I'm just like, oh man, you're a really intelligent cat. I was out in Seattle last fall and got a chance to hang out with Paul Herman and Chris Clow. And we watched Green Lantern and we talked a bunch of Superman. We talked about Star Wars sequels. We just geeked out for a whole night in Paul's basement, which is, I mean, like a hidden lair treasure trove of all things dork. That guy's book collection is insane. But we talked about Man of Steel, and what Klaus said, what really didn't work for him is sort of the ethos and morality of Pa Kent is probably the most powerful force in the entire DC universe.
Yeah.
So it's so important that you get that right and that relationship right in a meaningful way, because it's Jonathan Kent's morality that influences the superhero that Superman is.
Yeah.
And that expands all the way out into the future through the founding of the Legion of Superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
It influenced, countless other heroes within the DC universe. That all kind of morality can be traced back like a genealogy chart to Pa Kent. So that relationship being something that's influencing what Gunn wants to do, I think if done right, could have a major impact on the stories and the movies they're going to make. Now, does it need to show up in every single thing? And I do this because Pa Kent taught Clark Kent to do this. And that's why Superman is the way he is. But it's a nice through line. It's a nice little genealogy and something good to have in the DNA. So I was very encouraged by everything he had to say.
Yeah.
And he's obviously a gifted visual director too.
Yep. So I'm all for it. I'm excited for it and can't wait. I'm kind of like, I mean, obviously it's a different story than what he would have had like 4 years ago when he was approached, but I was like,
sure.
I wish he would have just said yes then.
I could, what might have been?
what might have been? Like, who knows where we would have been? But yeah, I'm not cautiously, I'm just optimistic. I'm optimistic for the future, you know?
Yeah. And I think like I don't want to prejudge anything and tell myself I'm going to love this movie no matter what, or I'm going to hate this movie no matter what. Like, I think that's a silly thing. You got to see it. It's just what I've heard so far makes me want to see this one.
Yeah. We'll see. I'll wait for the first trailer.
Well, other big news, Justin, it's March Madness for basketball is underway. Are you a big college basketball fan, Justin?
Oh man. I mean, if you listen to Pete Vera, I am.
the biggest you love. There's nothing more than you
California
love
California ball, man.
NCAA basketball in California. Yeah. That's all you like. It's all I ever hear you talk about. Actually,
I can't even break the surface on my knowledge of the NCAA. Right?
You got all the letters right. That's good.
Is that right? Yeah. I was like, oh. Okay, I can get them mixed up very easy. So
listeners that don't know Justin as well as we do would know that maybe Justin is not the world's foremost sports ball fanatic, which is just A-okay. And if you, like Justin, you don't eat, breathe, sleep, athletics, and competitive organized sports, There, you might be aware that this time of year is a big time to fill out your NCAA tournament brackets. But if you're just a little bit nerdier than you are a jock, there's an alternative for you. And our pal Ryan Lauer over at the Batman Book Club has his, I should pull it up. What's the terminology? The greatest Batman artists of all time?
I don't know if it's greatest. It's just like the top.
Influential, iconic.
Yeah. I gotta find my bracket.
Now he told so listeners, that's up. You can check out the Batman Book Club's podcast. You can't fill out a bracket anymore, but the voting is up. And of course it's Fast and Furious. That handles at the Batman BC. Now, Justin, I filled out my bracket. I know you filled out a bracket.
I did.
Think you and I took different approaches to our bracketology.
Have you seen my bracket?
No, but I talked to Lauer about it.
Oh, did he tell you about my bracket?
He didn't tell me what you filled out. He said,
man,
you took the personal favorites approach, and I took the who do I think's most likely to win out each matchup approach.
Oh, okay. Man, it was a rough bracket, I'll tell you.
Dude, he had some killers, like straight out of the gate matchups where I'm like, you're going to make me choose between these two artists in round one?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll spoil a couple of them if you want.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I won't go to the top. And I here's the thing. I surprised myself on a couple of them. I'm like, because I'd actually looked up like a kind of a definitive, you know, picture of each artist.
Sure. Very smart. Gotta do your research.
Yeah.
Put in the work. Do the work.
Yeah. Put a little bit of my real feelings in there. But I'll tell you, just that from the first bracket of Jim Lee and Clay Mann.
Yeah.
I went Clay Mann.
I went Jim Lee.
Did you really? I mean, and I love Jim Lee Batman, but I like what the rookie's doing. I like what Clay Mann's doing.
New kid on the block.
Yeah, Jim Lee. I mean, he has his Batman art. You know, he's got a bronzed Batman statue in Burbank. Like, he ain't hurting on notoriety. But I was like, you know what?
Clay Mann doesn't need that Kowalski vote.
He doesn't need my vote. He's already got it. I appreciate it.
I retweeted it, and you know, some of my fantasy football followers who also happen, I've learned over the years, are into Batman, were like, oh my gosh, the one that got mentioned to me a couple times was Kelly Jones and Matt Wagner.
As
in the first round. That got some people thinking. I was a little bit torn up between Tim Sale and Dick Sprang.
Oh, that was just easy for me.
Really? Did you go Sale?
Yeah.
See, I was tempted to go Sprang just because of historical, like, you know, it was a tough one. I did go Tim Sale just because, you know, near and dear to my heart. And of course, anyone that listens to Ryan's show knows how much he loves the Long Halloween. I also am a very, very big appreciator, and I love that art, you know, basically everything they've done through that collaboration.
Yeah.
So it'll be an interesting one.
Yeah,
interesting one.
The people were really upset about the writer bracket one time, but
this
one's, you know, it's hard. It's hard to make a bracket, and even now, like, we're like, oh man, it would be cool if we put this person in there. You know, he was just kind of sharing the you know, 32 folks sounds like a lot, but then you're like, oh man, like,
how many people have drawn Batman over the years?
How many people have drawn? But like the hard part is like when I look at greatest, I think of definitive. I mean, there's been people, and I always ask myself, like, how did that person get on the Batman book? Like,
right,
some of these guys weren't there was an artist, and I won't even name him, but he was like in the mid-90s, and I think he was on Detective, and I remember there's ad, they're all, Batman's never looked so bold, and it was like it was so odd, man.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm like, what a weird, why? And I was always like, as a kid, how come Jim Lee's not drawing Batman?
Right.
Not till 2003 did he get on there, right?
Blew my mind when I first saw Hush previewed in Wizard Comics. I was like, no way. I just couldn't believe it, because Jim Lee to me was Wildcats and X-Men. To have him on Batman was like mind-blowing.
Well, I was always like a DC kid, but I just you know, I like Marvel, but I was the DC kid, but I was always like, how come our artists aren't that great, you know?
Right
So it was, you always were kind of wanting something a little more like, you know, flashy to jump on a book, you know, like, I was like, man, the Superman books always had a great artist.
Oh yeah.
Like nonstop.
Yeah.
And I loved Breyfogle, but once Breyfogle was off the book, I was like, who are these guys?
Yeah, it was, it was sort of a little bit of a lost era for like really impactful, memorable you know, and tenured runs on the book, right? Like, you're coming away from a par, like, how many years was he on that to then kind of go through the rotations a little bit? But anyway, vote for that. Would love some engagement on that one. And if you think like I do, vote even more, because I've never won one of Brian's brackets. I would like to, come away with
I definitely did not win. I know I didn't win.
Champ. All right. Well, Justin. Pleasure as always, my friend. If listeners want to interact with you or listen to any of your other thoughts, where can they do that?
You can follow me on Twitter at Justin M. Kowalski. Spell it right, and you'll find me. That's all I can say about that. And then I've been hosting the Batman on Film chapter by chapter Batman 89 shows. I didn't get one this week. I've been real busy. I'm hoping to get back on real soon. But there was an episode I did. I got to chat with FJ DeSanto. We talked just a little bit about just the cultural impact of Batman 89, things that we liked about the movie, the era, the time, because I will tell you this, that movie was a cultural phenomenon.
Oh, worldwide. Worldwide. What a time to
never,
be alive.
Never seen anything else like it. And if anyone says opposite, they were probably on drugs. I don't know. So
they're out in the multiverse someplace. Yeah. It's funny to listen to it. I really enjoy that. And I like the conversations around the cultural impact, because I'm kind of in the middle of, age-wise, where the two Ryans and I think Peter are, and then where like you and Eric are. So I was old enough to experience it, but I wasn't like all the way self-aware preteen or teenager. You know, I was like a young little guy, but not so young that I didn't see it in the theater. Well, you didn't see it in the theater either, I guess, right?
I know.
I was able to soak it in. So that's fun. Yeah. Check that out. Good listeners, time. If you want to hear more from me, you can keep tuning in to this feed. And whenever I'm on an episode, I've been on a couple with Bill in the recent past. And then, of course, the BOF podcast, when we drop new episodes, you can check me out here. If you want to keep the conversation going, because I'm a chatty fella, you can do that over at Twitter. Interact, please. I spend too much time there. Convince me to spend more. I am there at Garrett Wato. That is GarrettWato. If you're looking for news updates when we're dropping articles, podcasts, mailbags, any of those things, you can follow the Batman on Film at the Batman on Film, all one word. If there's anything you'd like to hear about in upcoming episodes, I mentioned it early, feel free to drop me an email. You can do that at garrett.grev@batmanonfilm.com. That's garrett.grev@batman-on-film.com. And remember, dear listeners, it's not who you are underneath. It's what you do that defines you. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to the official podcast of the one and only Batman on Film website. On Twitter, follow BOF at Batman on Film. And the Batman Podcast Network at BatPod Network. For Jet and everyone at Batman on Film, I'm announcer Rachel. Thanks for listening to the authoritative, definitive, the original Batman on Film.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.